Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Technical Area, the Football Manager podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Gaffer Gamer, once again. Or as ChatGPT says I should start an episode saying, welcome, football managers, to another episode of the FM Technical Area, your go-to source for mastering Football Manager 2024. I'm your host, Gaffer Gramo, and today we're tackling a challenge that every manager faces, beating the bogey tactics. I got put onto ChatGPT by a guy in work. Look, whether you use it or not, I suppose it's a tool there for all of us, and with Football Manager content, it certainly can be a good source, great way to find out ideas, research, ask succinctly for analysis of tactics, roles, understanding new concepts, whatever it is. So, but look, whether you're opposed to the use of artificial intelligence after being scared watching The Terminator, or you're pro AI, whatever it is your view, there's another tool there to add to the arsenal for us Football Manager players. But look, my sense, going back to the script, the tactics, the notes I've taken myself, we are, of course, going talking bogey tactics, because another slow FM week for me. Played four games, played against Young Boys. Young Boys beat me again three of the four losses I've had with Basel in the league this season have all come against Young Boys. So it's a little annoying, just can't get the beating of them. Time is at an absolute premium for me. That's why this podcast is late. But even to the point of, I didn't even get to play with Aberdeen on FM Touch. So I'm a little bit annoyed at that. So I hope to get some more FM games. I'm squeezed in somewhere though. I think I might need a 25th hour at least added on to the day. But as I said, with Basel, we've slipped a second now, a point behind Young Boys, which has been very, very disappointing. Their narrow 4-1-2-1-2 diamond hurt us really badly again. And the thing is, the worst thing was, it was three avoidable goals. First goal came from overcommitting at a set piece, which I knew straight away we were open to a counter-attack when the highlight started. The second goal was a near post flick on in the corner, which looped over the goalkeeper. And the less said about the third one, the better. You know, carved open far too easily. In terms of Young Boys now, they're back on top, just as they are in real life. They're the only team in the league who play with the formation of a narrow 4-1-2-1-2 diamond, or 4-4-2 diamond, for Andy Nasekin might be saying from this point on. I can't beat it. They've got to add a couple of defeats this season, but the fact they're top of the league shows not just me who's trying to find a way to beat this dominant side in Swiss football. But like that, there's always a shape. There's always a style that just gets us. Whether it's a stubborn defence or a high press, when we come against this shape, when we come against this tactic, we just get stuck. Finding ways to undo the frustration. This requires us to be patient. It requires us to think analytically, think, analyse, think logically. Try and see it as a puzzle that needs to be solved. Where do we move the right pieces in order to get the result that we need? But like that, this system, no matter what it is, it always has our number. It just leaves our head scratching, sitting down, trying to wonder, what do I have to do to try and beat this? Now, the thing is, every tactic is beatable. Every tactic has a weak point, just like it has strengths. And whether it is you are the team who are bottom of the table or the team who are top, there will be a shape, there will be a way in which your approach can overcome those tactics, those philosophies that just have the beating of you no matter what. Every tactic has a weak point. It's just about being patient and sussing out the way in which we can find it. So, that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to break down the steps in which we need to try and break down a bogey tactic. Break down this tactic that has our number. So the first thing we need to do is analyse. Take a good, long, deep look at the tactic that we're facing. Analyse it in detail. And understand, how is this tactic effective? What are the strengths? And the thing is, right, there might be strengths, maybe players. The two of the top goal scorers in the Swiss League are the two strikers that young boys have of him for me. So I know the effectiveness here. But like that, this shape, it overloads central midfield areas. They have a player in front, a player behind, the two very capable central midfielders. They're a dominant team in the league at the moment. They're having their era, their phase. So really, you're looking here now and saying, what is it that makes this tactic strong? Because we need to know its strengths and we need to know its weaknesses to dismantle it. Like this 4-4-2 diamond. I focused, when I played against young boys, of playing three players in a defensive midfield role. I know I said I'm playing a 4-2-3-1, but you see, the thing is, a 4-2-3-1, committing to that, can include players who are out of possession versus in possession role. So I was going for a 4-2-3-1 in possession. The centre of the midfield, the defensive midfield three, was a roaming playmaker, player encouraged to push forward, with two ball-winning midfielders either side. And the idea was to kill the space in front of the opposition's, sorry, in front of my defence, to try and neutralise it, which worked really, really well. Like that, we just got caught out three times. Set-piece goal especially, they can often hurt the most. They can often be the ones that really we find hard, but look, they happen. They're a surefire way of scoring goals. And even for us now, when we face bogey tactics, that has to be an advantage. That has to be something we have to try and capitalise on. We have to try and capitalise on scoring with set pieces when we play against these bogey teams. But before we just focus on that, let's look at the open play ways in which we can beat it. In order to be effective, we need to understand with these teams, where is this tactic its strongest? So we have to determine if the tactic focuses on exploiting wide areas, overloading the midfield, or penetrating runs, passes, whatever it is, through the centre. Will they look to exploit these wide areas? Will they look to narrow the midfield, narrow the defence with inversion? Or is it what are the roles they're selecting in these central areas? And another then key point we have to consider is the transitions. Transitions are becoming more and more prominent in Football Manager, just like they are in real life. So understanding how the opposition transition from defence to attack and vice versa, that can give us an insight into how it is we beat them. Beat them on the transitions. Win in these changeable phases of the game. So, when you lose possession, do the opposition attack you with speed? Are they direct with this, or is it quick, short passing? So what patterns, triggers like that do you see happening? Does it go through a certain player? Is one of these players the key, the pivot to the whole thing happening? You think even to these great teams we've seen play in the past, you look at these patterns and triggers of play that happened. Think of Guardiola's Barcelona. They didn't win every game under Guardiola, nor did they win every Champions League. What happened with them was teams figured out ways to attack them and exploit the weaknesses. And even with a midfield of Busquets, Xavi and Iniesta, the patterns and triggers teams targeted could be in these areas to try and get physical with these players, to try and show a way of finding an advantage that the opposition just does not have. And even when you might play an opposition team who has a defensive shape, who likes to sit deep, soak up your pressure, or press and disrupt you, these are ideas which can give us so much information to know what our next step needs to be. Now, it's not always straightforward that we know where we need to make these forward steps. Sometimes we do have to suffer before we can, in fact, defeat an opposition tactic. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it has to be. Sometimes we need to suffer before we can overcome it. And like that, these are bogey tactics. So we have suffered up to this point. So it is not a bad idea to maybe just go back and like that, just watch through the match. Just look back through it and say, right, what did I do well? What didn't I do well here? What could I have done better? It's being humble and knowing there are always ways in which we can beat a tactic. But that goes back and learning from the mistakes we made in the past. And even like that, understanding who are the key players in the opposition. These things that come in our pre-match analysis sheets that we get in our inbox. Who are the key players? What positions do the opposition line up with when we get that report in their inbox? What are the roles that these players are playing in? Sometimes like that, it's about understanding these areas, knowing, well, look, they have an advanced playmaker playing as a central midfielder. If we can turn the ball over, this player may be caught out of possession. There may be space in behind. So maybe we can have an attacking run or exploit this space here. And even when you're playing the match, keeping an eye on those average positions in possession, out of possession, and overall, that little analysis feature is very, very useful in seeing how the opposition are in fact playing. And the pass map again will then give you the idea of, like I said before, of a pattern of play. Where does the play tend to go through? Where are the strongest passing links? And once you've established these key points, once you've analysed the opposition and you feel comfortable at this point, like that, it then comes up to you to create a game plan. Now, sometimes you're creating a game plan to play an opposition tactic that just has your number, a bogey tactic. You may need to experiment a little bit with your tactical adjustments. Now, the thing is, this can be something you do throughout a season from this point on. Not always playing with the same formation, not always using the same player roles, and maybe even varying your team instructions to counteract the strengths of opposition or to, you know, play to your own strengths. Like that, I'm playing with 3-4-2-3-1 shapes. The formations, however, differ from one to the next to the next. And one thing I'm looking at more and more is 3 10s behind a striker. 3 10s behind a 9. Player roles, well, if I play a player in a certain position, so for example, Yusuf Demir, who we'll be talking a little bit more about next week, or in the next episode, which I hope we'll look at this week as well. Yusuf Demir is an advanced playmaker in the attacking midfield centre position. If I bring Jean-Kevin Augustin or Jonathan Dubassin in, both play that position as a shadow striker. So having player roles vary with players who play it, having these alternatives there, these alternate options who can change your shape up, and then your team instructions will change as well. Like, I'm not going to play the same way when I have a target forward up front as when I do when I have a complete forward up front. Now, despite the fact Georgi Jovanovic is very capable in the air, the fact he can play as a complete forward gives me the ability then to play the role in a different way. I can use a 10 more effectively behind because I find that the combination works better. So knowing here that I have experimented and I'm creating game plans, that gives me an alternative when I'm going into play against teams with these tactics I just can't beat, these sides I just can't get the better of. As we've already alluded to, focusing on set pieces, it's always a surefire way of getting a goal. Train routines, spend a little bit of time developing them. Every corner I'm taking a Football Manager this year is short. Just because I saw Notts County or the one that I think it was in real life, and I said, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try that for a year. I'm going to see how that goes. It's a little bit of fun. It's different. So it's forced me to be a little bit more creative with my set pieces, only taking short ones. Now, like that, the player who receives the short corner may, in fact, float it into the box in a traditional sense, but still, it's experimenting. It's trying something different with a game plan. You know, it's rotating up players. It's having different alternatives during the season, all the way through. No matter who I'm playing against, the opposition will be kept guessing. I'm rotating my starting lineup. I'm experimenting with my formation, acting in a different way throughout the season. Team instructions changing depending on who the opponent is. I have an aggressive 4-2-3-1 where my two defensive midfielders are a Regista and a Segundo Volante in attack. I then have a more conservative one where my two wide forwards become two wide midfielders. They drop back a full step back. So you're, and even to the point where sometimes they even drop the attack midfielder to play as a centre midfielder and isolate the striker up front. Nonetheless, I'm keeping to my principles. I'm keeping to my philosophy. But I'm finding solutions to use this and keep this rotation of formation and squad fresh, training them well so that the opposition don't know what's going to come out when they play me. Now, the hardest one, perhaps, is anticipating and adapting. and staying proactive during matches by anticipating the opposition's moves and making adjustments to nullify their tactics. We do get a great bit of insight from our analysis pad during the game. We do get a great bit of information sometimes when it comes up and says, oh, it looks like they've gone more attacking. Or sometimes the commentary bar will say, you know, the manager's demanding more. Expect a reaction and a change in how the opposition play in these moments. And then, like that, it gives you an idea of, as you're playing, to adapt. If they're going to be a little bit more attacking, maybe I should go a bit more counter-attacking. Maybe I should focus more on counter-pressing a little more. Or if they're sitting deep and becoming more defensive, maybe I might need to sit deeper myself and draw them out, counterintuitive as it may seem. But nonetheless, having a game plan is the way forward. Because at the end of the day, we want to exploit the opposition vulnerabilities. We want to be able to rotate our team instructions. We want to be able to even press the opposition player with the weakest first touch. That's something that can give you a huge advantage. If you can see that a particular centre-back has a particularly poor first touch, you want to set your team to press more often on him. Because chances are, like that, he could miscontrol it, you can regain possession. Again, players who may have weaker passing attributes, weaker technique attributes, look at these, and there is your inroad into understanding just how it is to break down the opposition, just where their vulnerabilities are. And even to the point then of, like that, knowing in a game you can change, you know, okay, oh, such and such a player is on, right, we make this change, we're going to press him more often. Just take control of that one opposition instruction. That is your inroad, and that's what you look for. You look for this one little, you know, exhaust port in the side of a star-sized planet-destroying space station. That's what you look for, that one small gap in the armor. That's your way in. That's what you go for, and that's the way you can take control of this game. Mental preparation is something we suppose we don't even consider in Football Manager. But it is important when we do actually, you know, look to play these games. We want our player interactions, our team talks, so all focus on building up and maximising our players' confidence. We want to be able to, you know, develop our players that they play particular roles, positions. So that way when we play in a certain way, these players can adapt and come into these roles, these positions straight away, quick and easy. Focusing on cohesion and dynamics is something as well that we need to emphasise. When we see those green relationship bars building up between players, that's something that can certainly help us when we do play against a stronger opposition. Knowing that this team has great cohesion, that will work together, that you are focusing on enhancing what it is your game plan is by just using players with good relationships with one another, players who feel comfortable working alongside each other. And then, of course, during the week, your training focus. When you're going into this big game, your training focus needs to focus on the areas in which you feel will give you the best advantage. So when I played young boys, I focused on attacking the wings because the only players they had outside of the central areas were their two fullbacks in of a back four. So that was an area I wanted to exploit. So I had attacking wings down. I had attacking with overlap down. I focused heavily that week on training with aerial defence, with ground defence, so with ground defence there as well. I focused really on maximising my tactic and then trying to defend and nullify against the opposition. So how does this look? What is it we need to do? Well, look, one of the challenges with this podcast is when I try and introduce some topics, some things like this to you, it is an awful lot of information, and I am very well aware that the next section in particular is going to be quite dense. But when it comes to playing against specific tactical formations, tactical styles and philosophy styles, there are some problems that we can try and solve, some inherent weaknesses that come with these shapes, some inherent weaknesses that come with these philosophy styles. Now, I could go into every tactic here in detail. I could go into the four that I polled in as much detail as possible to try and give you some assistance to beat them. But I'm just going to really kind of focus on the two main ones that came up on the poll. So on the poll, when I asked With bogey teams and bogey tactics, what's been your bogey tactic in FM24? 50% of voters said it's the 4-2-3-1. That's me too. Didn't vote, but I'd be in that category there too. And a third, 33% said the 3-5-2. So they're the main two I'm going to focus on now. But if anyone else wants to hear me analyse and break down any other tactics in the future, please let me know, whether it's the 4-3-3 or the 3-4-3, one of the ones that I mentioned. So, focusing on a 4-2-3-1, what is it that we need to do? Look, we don't understand the 4-2-3-1's popularity. It's versatile. But like that, there are obvious weaknesses that we can exploit, that when we play against a team in this shape, we can try and maximise our strengths and try and strengthen up even more in our game plan in these areas. The 4-2-3-1 often relies on fullbacks to provide width and attack. This can leave space in behind them, which opponents can exploit. So we could look to aim to attack the opposition with overlapping runs or quick switches of play. So having a deep-lying playmaker there yourself, or a playmaker with direct passing, can be something we use there. Now, the other thing as well is to mind and watch when you're playing the games, is to watch how the opposition's wide forward or wingers defend. Because if they don't track back effectively, this can create numerical disadvantages in wide areas for the opposition. And as such for us, we can try to exploit this by pushing our own wingbacks or our fullbacks forward. Now, the key strength of the 4-2-3-1 is its double pivot, and we want to expose that as far as possible. These two central midfielders, more often than not, their primary objective is to shield the opposite, their own defence and distribute the ball. Think of Mascherano and Alonso, Xabi Alonso for Liverpool, under Rafa Benitez. That was my first experience of watching a 4-2-3-1 in detail. You had your destroyer and your creator there, with your 10 in front and Gerrard. So, with these shielding players, they can often leave a gap between themselves and the attack, and themselves and the defence then as well. So, just trying to get around this double pivot, we can try and overload this area, or have players make runs from deeper positions. Central midfielder on support, central midfielder on attack, box midfielder, Mazzala, these type of players. And if we emphasise them on dribbling more, and making more forward runs, we're talking about an ability here to overload the double pivot of the opposition in a 4-2-3-1. Pressing the playmaker, whether it's a central attacking midfielder or the deep-lying playmaker, pressing this player tightly will disrupt their build-up play and limit their ability to create goal-scoring opportunities. 4-2-3-1 also has a lone striker. And we want to isolate them, because the thing is, we want to try and have them as disconnected as possible. We want to try and force the opposition's support to drop to a kind of an adequate or below adequate level. We want to mark them. We want to neutralize them. We want to, find ways to limit the amount of space they have to play. We want to make it difficult for the opposition to attack and sustain any sort of pressure and reduce their ability to create goal-scoring chances. And isolating the lone striker could be the way to do this. Now, like that, with advancing fullbacks at three attacking midfielders, often with the 4-2-3-1, times can be seen with only four defensive players and a goalkeeper. And counter-attacks won by yourself, with quick transitions, exploiting the spaces left behind by these players. That is your key. That is your way forward. That is your way of making things happen. So whether it is you task your players with attacking the wide areas, so you've got maybe got Mazzalas there to attack the half spaces, you've got wing backs on support, wing backs on attack, full backs on attack, whatever it is. Quick transitions. Look at the team instructions. Look at the player instructions. That when you get the ball, win the ball over, that these players attack and attack quickly. And then finally, like that, the struggle of the 4-2-3-1 with defensive transitions, like because of these three attacking players, will like that. Having an exposed defence can be susceptible, easy word to read it, is certainly susceptible to numerical disadvantages and an opportunity for us to capitalize. So with a 4-2-3-1 like that, the key is the wide areas. Overload wide areas, press the playmakers, isolate the lone striker, and focus on counter-attacking opportunities. That is your way to beat a 4-2-3-1. But in a 3-5-2 like that, this is a very strong tactic we're seeing develop in Football Manager, and something we spoke about a lot last week, because it offers both defensive solidity and attacking versatility. But like that, flanks can be a weakness. There are only two players in the wide areas, and these wing-backs are heavily relied upon. There's a space in front and a space in behind, depending on how the opposition uses them. So quick counter-attacks or overloading your own flanks with two wide players, so a full-back and a wing-back, or a full-back, a wing-back, or a wide midfielder, winger, whatever it is that you choose to use, focus on a 3-5-2 of exposing these wide areas. Getting a numerical disadvantage. Create opportunities for crosses and diagonal balls into the box. That is the most important thing you do when you play against a 3-5-2, is attack and expose the wide areas. With a back three then, with three centre-backs, this is where the primary build-up play is, something we spoke about last week, and we want to be able to press this effectively. Sometimes pushing our central midfielders up can be one way of doing this, or asking our wide players to come in and create overloading opportunities. So for example, if you have two inside forwards, anything like that, this can be ways we try and cut off the passing lanes to midfielders and force the opposition to, like that, play these, you know, high risk balls, these long balls, where, like that, the chances of retaining possession are reduced. So that there is a key point, something which we need to focus on big time. Again, 3-5-2s can often leave gaps then between the defensive line, midfield line, and the front line. So again, isolating the strikers, cutting off their supply, pressing the midfield, pressing the wing backs. These are really strong ways, because like that, which we can try and beat a 3-5-2. Because if the opposition midfielders are unable to provide adequate support to the strikers, they can struggle to hold the play, they can struggle to link play up, and all of a sudden the attacking team cannot sustain an attacking pressure. They struggle to create goal scoring chances, and that gives us, again, an opportunity to keep going and keep pushing forward. And like that then, of course, set pieces. Set pieces are always going to be something we want to do. We want to focus on finding ways in which we can create goal scoring opportunities, and set pieces are one of these, you know, very, very valuable ways. So despite the fact the opposition may play with three centre-backs, you may see your chances of being early dominant from set pieces as a challenge. But like that, opportunities to exploit, you know, a 3-5-2 with well-placed crosses and well-designed set-piece routines can lead to goal-scoring opportunities. So like that, just to recap, the 3-5-2, just like the 4-2-3-1, is susceptible in the area of flanks. So trying to create numerical disadvantages, expose the flanks, that is your primary objective. After that then, what you want to do is focus on pressing the back three and isolate the strikers. That way then, once you've gotten yourself a foothold into playing well against these teams, you've got yourself a chance of using the tactic to shape you have, but just using slightly different roles, getting creative with it. Team instructions, player instructions, and all of a sudden you've got a significant advantage there, a significant way into the game. But sometimes, like I said, it's not a formation that a bogey tactic is. Sometimes it's a playing philosophy. Sometimes it's playing with teams on a low block. So when we're playing against teams on a low block, we need to be patient. So we need, like that, to draw the opposition out. So focus on short passing. You want to make the pitch as wide as possible. So focus again on overloads, stretching the opposition's defence and using the wide areas effectively. Overlapping runs, overloads on the flanks, we will force the opposition to spread out and we will open up gaps in the defensive structure. When these gaps open up, having playmakers in the middle of midfield can play penetrating passes and having movement then potentially of inside inverting forwards or strikers who attack the channels. All of a sudden then we've got an ability there with between movement and off the ball runs to combine with penetrative passes to unlock the opposition's deep defensive line. Sometimes we may need to rely on individual creativity. It's no secret to see that Liverpool struggles against the deep blocking, low blocking teams, was sought to be answered by the signing of Thiago Alcantara. However, obviously Thiago's fitness issues for Liverpool have been, you know, questionable, have been an issue, a problem for the club for the last number of years. But the individual creativity brought here, this player can unlock the opposition's defence. They can dribble, take on defenders, shoot from distance, dictate the tempo, find pockets of space, whatever it is. So whether it's using a regista, whether you're using a deep-lying playmaker, roaming playmaker, whatever it is, you've got to find ways of allowing your team to play with creativity and having one creative player in particular in which you can unlock the opposition with. Because no matter what it is, when you're playing against these deep-sitting teams, you need to be patient and persistent. You need to ensure that your team is not susceptible to counterattacks, does not overcommit. So you need to build up in a very, very structured way, a very, very, you know, patient way, but a way in which you try to build and open gaps in the opposition's backline. That means passing and movement can exploit. So again, look to player roles, player positions, all of these things which can exploit half spaces there in particular. The opposite end of the thing is a high pressure. Gegen pressing, these, you know, high pressing teams. Look, let's be honest, they are very, very difficult to play against. But again, they are weak. They are susceptible. There are ways in which you can beat teams who play in a high-pressing way. Quick ball circulation, so short, quick passing, upping the tempo. Utilising the flanks, so again, fullbacks and wingers should look to stretch the opposition defence with overlapping runs. Vertical passing and through balls. So again, roaming playmaker, box-to-box midfielder, these type of players who kind of run in a more vertical manner can be very, very effective here. Quick transitions like that, something we can see now in Football Manager and our in transition team instructions, to try and be quick, to try and up the tempo in these moments. Now, press resistance and ball retention is a key point I want to really, really stress here, because we need to develop strategies to maintain possession under pressure and resist the opposition's high press. We need our players to shield the ball, to play under pressure, and have safe passing options in order to retain possession. This way, we can then frustrate the opposition. Now, press-resisting players, that's a very, very, very particular skill set you need a player to have. So, if you want to play against a high-pressing team, you want to have a team of press-resistant players, in particular your creative players. And in order for them to be seen as press resistant, they have to have excellent technical abilities of ball control, good first touch. They need to have the ability to move into space, have good off the ball, good vision, good anticipation. They need to have good composure, high decision making attribute as well. They need to have good balance and agility to deal with the physicality of a press. They need to have strength and acceleration. They need to be well-versed in your tactics. They need to be able to pass and dribble the ball effectively, move effectively. So like that, you're looking at players there with a lot of demands. There's a lot of skills needed. But like that, focusing on technical abilities like ball control, focusing on, you know, the players off the ball movement, teamwork, their anticipation and decision making, composure and their mental attributes, very, very important. And then like that, adding good strong physical attributes like strength, balance, agility and acceleration. if you've got those skill sets and players, they are ideal to play against in these games against high pressing opposition. Very, very challenging games. Very, very physically demanding games. But like that, games in which you've got opportunities to counterattack. You've got opposition. You've got opportunities to try and progress play vertically. When you're playing against these teams like that, you need to like that make the most of the flanks. Be quick and decisive in your possession. Challenging, I understand. Challenging, I'm well aware of. But still, when we play against teams that ask us different questions philosophically, not only is the style and the questions of positioning a challenge for us, but so too are the questions being asked that we need to answer when it comes to a philosophy style, whether it's, like we said, deep or high pressing, high energy. So we need to just understand what it is we need to do, what it is that's expected of us in these areas. Right. I'm well aware I've just divulged a huge amount of information. I'm well aware that it's been a very, very, very dense and heavy episode here. There's a lot of information being given there. But look, bogey tactics are something we all face. Bogey tactics are challenges we all have to try and solve. Like I said, 50% of people out there, it's 4-2-3-1. And that 4-2-3-1 gegenpressing system seems to be something that Football Manager's match engine just seems to have overpowered even more. And whether it is us using it or the opposition, it's very, very, very challenging to watch and be subjected to. And we can often see the opposition, whether it's us or the AI, struggle and crumble when faced with these shapes. But the key point I need to stress, the key thing we need to consider here, is we need to be adaptable when facing these bogey tactics. Sometimes it's a bit of humble pie. No, we don't always have the answers. But persevere to try and find ways to solve these questions that the opposition is asking us, questions that this tactic has just found in our own style. We have our own strengths and weaknesses, so take some time to analyse and understand what the strengths and weaknesses are of your squad, what the strengths and weaknesses are of your tactic, your formation, and then know, how can I address these weaknesses? Because weaknesses are always going to exist. There's never going to be no weaknesses. Everything has a weak point. Everything can be neutralized. We just have to be creative in finding these ways. And creative in finding ways in which our strengths can try and cover these as effectively as possible. But nonetheless, at the end, just remember, experiment, believe in your ability to outsmart the opposition, and you're onto a winner straight away. Now, just before I do say goodbye, I want to say, look, a massive thank you for listening. And if you got involved in the polls, I really, really do appreciate it. Again, we do have the option to send in voice notes. So if there's anything you want to add, we can have your voice in a little segment in this podcast. Maybe I'll give you the final word. It might be nice for, you know, people to just get involved. Just like sending a voice note on WhatsApp, basically. What it is, answer the question of the week, whatever it is you have to say. Feel free, we'll throw these into the podcast. There's a space ready in there waiting for anyone who wants to, you know, add an extra little piece in that 288 characters or a click of a button on a poll just doesn't satisfy you enough. But if you did like the podcast, please like and share, review it on whatever podcast platform it is you listen on. You know, all of these things help the podcast grow as we look to try and get back on our feet after a winter break of many months. Next week, as I said, I spoke about Yusuf Demir earlier on. We're going to be talking about building around a player role, building around an individual player, building a team around a position. So I'd love for your stories to be added in. Question of the week will be out tomorrow, Wednesday, or today, Wednesday. This will be released now Wednesday morning, so you'll see a poll coming out as well on episode 6. So feel free to get involved. Feel free to send your voice note in there. But until very, very shortly, I've been Gaffer Graham. I'll probably talk to you again at the weekend. Thanks very much for listening. Enjoy your Football Manager. Best of luck with it. And I'll talk to you again in a couple of days. Bye now.